Welcome to the Mind Games podcast. I really want to thank you guys for your ongoing support. The only thing I will ask of you guys is to please subscribe to the channel, like this video and comment. Today, we have Dean Messeter, or as he is better known, the NRL Roast. Roasty is one of the real good guys in the NRL content space and he's a real trailblazer. I found this chat super insightful. Enjoy. Alrighty, Dean Messeter, mate. Welcome to the Mind Games podcast.
Take two. Yes. Good to be here, mate. Like I was saying, yeah, great studio. Great little format you got here. So, yeah.
And, pleasure. You used to being on the casting couches?
No. I've watched a few casting couches. But hopefully this one doesn't end up the way the ones that I watch. Who knows? We might get along way too well.
Mate, we might. Well, speaking of get along way too well, how we kind of met was shout out to the Hello Sport Boys, but at their golf day last year. So I was a guest of the Levels Boys group. I got to play with Justin and Lukey and Shawnee, and one of their mates. And you were in whose group were you in again?
I was just a random group that some guys that are Baggy Green members.
Yep.
And just P's and D's. So like we've just created a relationship. Two of the guys I'd never even met before.
Yeah. Okay.
And we just had a relationship where we talked in texts and stuff like that. So I was like, hit them up. I knew they love golf and they love the P's and D's and all that. So let's get on the beers and play some golf. And they were keen. So
yeah, sweet.
Good chance just to, like, there's been so many people I meet via DMs and on socials that I've never met before. And just a good chance to catch up and have a few beers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, as I said, we kind of hit it off there and just stayed in touch a little bit, which was good.
Great days, those are.
They are great days.
Yeah, very, very good. So much fun.
It was good. You just want to stay and rip in as well, yeah. Like after the end of it, which is a bit of fun. But mate, that kind of, I guess, getting along all right sort of ties in as well. You're from Central West, born in Forbes.
I don't tell too many people. Yeah, I don't tell too many people that, but yes, you've done your research,
I see. I'm a Dubbo boy myself, so yeah. Probably why we hit it off a little bit, but I think you were telling me a bit of a story off air around the grand final this year.
Well, it was a great grand, like, not great for people that don't like Dubbo and Forbes, which is pretty much Parks, but a great grand final because it went to extra time. I think they ended up going for about 100 minutes and ended with field goal to Dubbo Sims, who, yeah, like I said, we don't get along with. They've had so much success over the years. They've got plenty of money. They, you know, anytime there's a good player developed, they seem to always be able to grab them and sign them. So there's always that hatred from that, like also hatred from them being successful. You want to be that successful. So but they've produced a ton of talent from out there as well. And Forbes, our most heated rival throughout the year. So it was like, it's like this grand final in the NRL. It's like, who do you want to lose? Both of them.
Absolutely.
So, but it was a classic grand final out there, one for the ages.
Yeah, nice. I think that, just to touch on that, I think the whole of New South Wales have got to get behind the Roosters NRLW, right?
I think so, yeah. Again, that's like, for most NRL fans, it's like, do you really want to see the Roosters win another comp? Like, or the Broncos. So it's like, my eldest daughter, she actually follows the Broncos NRLW team, so I think I'll have to support them for her. Yeah, she got wooed by Ali Brigginshaw one day when I took her along to do a bit of a media day, and Ali just took over. She loved her and engaged with her so much that she was like, "I'm a Brisbane Broncos fan now." I'm like, "Oh, damn it!"
That's all right. That's unreal. Like the way, and just even showing the impact that the NRLW girls are starting to. Well, not starting to, like they're starting to have an impact on that next generation, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And not just girls either, boys. Like you see, I've been to plenty of games, and to see like families there with boys and girls. Like obviously the young girls are predominantly the audience, but there's so many young blokes and men watching it. So it's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mate, let's just touch on a little bit the content space. So, as someone who's, I guess, starting to take a little bit of a leap into the area, definitely just, I think as I spoke about earlier, looking to build relationships in the space, but also just looking to learn off the people that sort of come before me. How did it sort of start for you? How did the Instagram page start? So I'm guessing you would have been working full time?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so back in, it was 2017.
Okay.
But it was probably a few years before that. It was around sort of 2014, I sort of started dabbling in social media. Me and my mates were just sitting there and we'd be watching UFC. And there was a page we follow, which was MMA Roasted. a comedian, Adam, and I should have done my research. I forget his last name. Always forget it. But he was MMA roasted. And what he would do would be sitting there watching the UFC events and just tweeting out like all these funny stuff. And we're like, we loved it. And we'd be sitting there and we'd be doing the same with each other, bantering and having a laugh. And we're like, we should do this around rugby league. And so I remember we started like a Twitter thing. We just throw out a few tweets. It sort of died off and all that. Like I had kids not long, like I had my first one a couple of years before that. So like, you know, taking up time and
yeah.
Didn't really see it as an avenue to follow. And then I took some time off from work. I was working in finance at the time and just took some time off to look after my kids. So I had a bit more time to dabble in it. So we started making memes and throwing them in group pages and stuff. And I still remember the very first one I made, like a video one, which was a head swap of Josh Reynolds and a Dragons player. Josh had tripped him in a game. And so I did the Karate Kid meme where it was like sweep the leg and had like Mr. Miyagi was Desi Hasler and Mary McGregor was, Desi was the
Sensei.
Cobra Kai. And Mary McGregor was Mr. Miyagi. So the head swaps were like made it look really funny. And I posted that in a group and Bo Ryan picked it up for the footy show. And I'm like, oh shit, maybe I've got a bit of a knack for this. So just started continually posting, started doing some stuff for other pages. Like, I'm just going to start my own page so then I can do what I want and post. And that was in early 2017. And it just blew up. Like Facebook was really the first one we started with. And then I transitioned to Instagram. But back then, Instagram wasn't really what it is now. It was really just people just posting photos and wasn't really like the influencer-led that it is now. And but over the years, it just sort of transitioned. But Facebook just blew up. I remember having 50,000 followers in the first year.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, oh, shit. But I was sitting there. People ask, like, what, you know, how did it blow up so quickly? I'd be sitting there and what you used to be able to do was anyone that liked your content, if they didn't follow your page, you can invite them to follow. I would sit there. And there'd be like 2,000 likes. I'd just sit there and go bang, bang, bang on each one. Like for so it'd take like an hour to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how right. build it up. And they go, oh, well, I like that post, so I'm going to like the page. And so then it's just a flow-on effect. Every post, then they get to see straight up. They don't have to go searching for it and just kept on progressing. So,
yeah, unreal. Are you copping much stick about this or is it you're not really showing your face, it's more just memes and stuff
at that time? No, it was just memes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so did you have your name to it at all?
If anyone asked, I'd say who I was. I never hid from it.
Okay.
But I also knew there was a lot of like negative, like back then the NRL community wasn't what it is now, which is really collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was really competitive and people, so you'd post a meme and then someone would steal it and post it on everyone else's pages. So you'd always try and do different content so, you know, be unique. But on Facebook, they just steal it and just post it. And so there was real competitive. So I didn't really want to put my face out there that much. Just, one, I had a stalking issue. There was a guy who ended up stalking my family over content. So I was like the NRL memes guy. Do you remember him?
Vaguely.
I hate giving him
airtime.
But He was the one that went to court over with Mark Guy's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what he did was said there was a sex video out there and it was Mark Guy's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
was false. Went to court and for defamation and got his page shut down. But 6 months before that, he was stalking my family. So stalking all my social media, finding photos of my kids and stuff like that, telling me their ages, when they were born, all this sort of stuff. And to the point where I was like I had to like obviously blocked him but he'd be sending me on fake profiles and all this sort of stuff. He ended up when all that shit went down with Mark Geyer, posted my photo saying I was running that page and it was me doing all the stuff with Mark Geyer. So I had Mark Geyer ringing me like 11 o'clock at night, going, "Hey mate, we need to chat." And I'm like, "Fuck!" I had to ring him back and let him know it wasn't me because I'd interviewed Mark like probably 2 years earlier. And thought we had a good relationship. I thought he knew, but he's obviously seen it. Someone sent it to him, and he thought I was the one posting all this stuff. Yeah,
because I saw you on his podcast recently.
Yeah, yeah, great guy. Yeah, so. That was what it was like back in those early days. It was like, you know, very freaky and weird. Like
that is weird.
Yeah,
that's one of the weirder ones I've heard.
Yeah. So he what he would do was like just constantly steal all my content that I was putting out, and posting it as his own. And for what reason? Like, just to get a couple of likes on social media. Yeah. And then to go all that extent of, you know, stalking my family and all that sort of stuff. So, but hey, what it is now is fucking great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's so many, everyone wants to work together. We all want to pump each other up and help each other out. So, but those early days, it was, yeah, it was wild.
I suppose, just a question to that, like, and obviously, in a way, it's a privilege in terms of if people are going at you, are you doing something right?
Yes.
But, like, how, talk me through, like, your mindset around that. Like, how are you going, like, far out? Maybe I should just pack this in. Like, I don't want to put my family on blast or, like, you know, expose my family to this sort of stuff. Or is it, like, I want to double down and actually make a career of it? How's you sort of, how are you dealing with that? And also, like, are you leaning on your partner and different things? Or how'd you go about that?
Yeah, look. Those early years was really tough to, like, with my wife and kids. One, because, like, you're spending so much extra time. Like, I was working in banking, so it's not traditional 9 to 5. You're doing late hours, so we don't have, probably doing 60, 70 hours every week, and then you're doing content on top of that. So, yeah, it was tough those early years, but we see the benefits of that now, like the stuff that I'm doing. But those early days, yeah, they were pretty tough. Like, you know, our family, I suppose, went through a tough time with that. It was hard to sort of push through, but it was, I never really thought, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Okay.
It was just still...
just a bit of fun on the
bit
side.
Of fun, bit of hobby. So, well, there was times where I was like, I should just pack it up.
Were you much of a player? Were you just a... were you much of a player growing up?
Yeah, I was under 16s, best and fairest. I was... that was my peak years, under 16s. Well, no, but that I only played sort of juniors and a little bit of senior footy, not much. But I loved rugby league all my life. Like, yeah. My best memories are sitting in my pop's lounge room watching him blow up in doggies games and my dad blowing up in Dragons games. So I was that close to being a doggies fan too. So
thank God you.
Yeah,
did
I know.
Not.
Thank God.
I couldn't handle that.
But no, look. Yeah, like early days was, yeah, like I said, just memories of with family watching footy. And mum never really wanted me to play footy.
Okay.
When I was in Forbes and I was playing school, I played my last year in primary school, and one of the coaches there, like, this was, it's not what it is now where everyone's trying to be real positive. There was a lot of negative stuff. I remember the coach telling me, oh, I should just give it away. Like, telling a 10-year-old kid he should give away rugby league because I wasn't any good. Yeah. And then we moved to Parks, and so that's why I hated Forbes too. Like, even though I was born there, it was like the hatred was already instilled in me.
Yeah.
Did
you have a bit of a, like, I want to prove him wrong, do you think, at that age?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's like, and then I remember when mum didn't want me to play footy because of that, and her best friend took me to footy training 1 year, and then she would say she was looking after me of an afternoon because mum worked at the RTA, the RMS or whatever it is now. And so I'd go to her house of an afternoon and she'd look after me. She'd sneak me up to footy training. And then mum didn't even know about it until the first game of the year. She was taken her up there and she was like, oh, I saw, I had a suspicion this was out there. But yeah, and I always found, like, yeah, you were saying, did it drive me? Some of my best games I've ever played, like even juniors, like it's junior footy. It's not NRL. I get that. But some of the best games I've ever had. I remember when you hear about, like, a player's player or the referee would say, you had your best game or whatever. It was always against Forbes. Wanted to rise against them.
Well, do you reckon, so I know I'm jumping around a little bit there and we'll get back to, I guess, a bit more your mindset. But in terms of the lessons you've learned from that, in terms of junior footy, someone writing you off and then you sort of going, I'm going to prove him wrong. Do you think that helped with a bit of content creation? So, like, you would have started, people would have gone, oh, like subconsciously, I mean.
Yep.
Like, people would have been going, like, oh, like, this idiot's going off and doing, who do you think he is, doing this. You would have heard it, like, whispers, wherever, social media, whatever. Then, it's that same sort of thing, right? You're like, I'm going to prove these people wrong.
100%. And, like, as much as you go, oh, you shouldn't be telling kids that, it also helps.
Yeah.
So we went through the generation of, like, parents and teachers and stuff were hard on you, and it helps instill
character
and drive in you, right?
Yeah.
So 100% that helped me in what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But it also helped me in what I was doing before in work. Like, I wanted to drive to be the best when I was in the bank manager. I wanted our bank to be the best bank in the area, right? So, you want to go out and do stuff in the community and be better. And, you know, it makes you want to be a better father, better partner, everything. So absolutely. 100% it drives you. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Love that. So, sorry, just going back to, dealing with, I guess, what was going on. So you would have copped, there was obviously that weird situation, but they would have had a fair bit of criticism coming your way as well at the start.
Yeah, there was. And my wife tried to instill in me early, like, don't read the comments.
Yeah, okay.
And I still do, but I try not to. I don't take any stock in much negative stuff anymore, unless it's constructive. Like, I'll take constructive criticism every day. But, there was, like, you should just sometimes not read the comments at all because people are just negative for, you know, they want to feel better about themselves. Most of the time you're like, well, hold on. So many people have liked this. So many people have commented how good it is. Why am I focusing on one negative comment? So it's just, yeah. And also it's based around my humour. My humour is not for everyone. So what I find funny, you might not find funny. Or
For context, I do.
Yeah. No, but let's say out of 10, you might go, oh, 5 are hilarious. 5 are, nah.
Yeah. Okay.
Where I think every post is funny I wouldn't put it out there if I didn't think it was.
Have you put out many that you've gone, oh, I don't know how this is going to be received?
There's been plenty. But it's like, and there's been plenty that I've had to take down and apologise.
Okay.
Because you just get it wrong.
Yeah.
And there's no harm in saying, oh, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Apologies. Yeah.
So you find that taking accountability has been a big piece
of it? 100%, yeah.
Is that gaining respect from, like, even the players and stuff as well?
Yeah, I hope so, because there's been a couple of times where players have, like, come back, and which is great. I'd like them to do that instead of just not saying anything at all and then me thinking, oh, I've done it right. I found out, you know, obviously I've thrown a post out there, and I want, like, I've always said, like, my stuff that I put out is intended to be funny. Okay, if you don't find it funny, that's fine. I apologize that you don't find it funny, but that's my intent. I'm not intending to hurt you or intending to make you look silly.
Yeah,
I just wanted to go, this was silly. Let's laugh about it and get over it and move on to the next thing. So, yeah, there's been plenty of players that have taken it the wrong way. There's not much I can do about it.
Yeah.
If I see them in person, I might bring it up. It was like a recent one that was the Dally M's last year that I made a joke about a player that happened, and I got a bit of feedback from mental health because it was like that player had been going through some mental health stuff and had spoken up about it. And I was like, yeah, but that's – I'm not saying anything about that person. I was saying about the situation. And, you know, I didn't apologize for that one because it was like, well, my intention there is that this is a funny situation. We should all laugh about it like that player was.
Yeah.
Yes, that player went through mental health and there are mental health implications and all that sort of stuff. But if we laugh about it, we can, you know, get over it as well. Mm. And help, you know, people get over that, well, not get over, but help them get through any sort of mental health issues they have.
Yeah, okay. No, cool. I kind of like what you said there in terms of, in terms of different ways to, I guess, attack certain scenarios.
Yep.
Like, it's not necessarily let's sweep things under the rug, let's not talk about it. Like, there are that people make mistakes, things happen. These guys are public. It's you're going to either have these journos that are spraying them in a way, or you can make light of the situation and things sort of progress.
Yeah,
I think it's really cool.
If you take for example the recent one, which is Reece Walsh and toilet water, right? Hilarious.
Yeah,
and his attention was funny. Like he was, and it was great. And I don't think there was a lot of negative press about it, but there was press that was like,
oh, they were trying to be.
Yeah, they were trying to make him look like he's an idiot for doing this. He's putting pressure on the club, rah rah rah. Mm. I actually don't even think I posted about it in the first few days because it was like, at the time I was either busy and I didn't have an angle on it. But it's like there are some funny things in doing that. It's like, you know, fans looking at the toilet going, you know, maybe I've got to do that to get my team over or whatever it is, right? So there's a funny situation, and that's not making fun of Reece Walsh drinking toilet water. That's just going, hey, you drank toilet water. Now you're almost making fans do it. Like they think, oh, because he went out and blitzed it against Canberra.
Yeah, and was doing the celebration.
Yeah, and doing the celebrations
and stuff. He's got his own like toilet mug and stuff he's drinking out of.
There was a kid at FanFest yesterday. And he had a toilet seat. In the middle was a photo of Reece Walsh with Reece stickers all over. And I'm like, mate, he's going to say that and just piss himself laughing. And like, that's now, you know, imagine if he wins the is a bit of a spoiler, but like if he wins the wins the grand final on Saturday and he raises a trophy, like it's a quick instant Photoshop of that holding the toilet seat. It's like, you know, one that won the premiership. So, and that's just, it's a great moment. But yeah, the press will want to do their negative stories on it because that gets the clicks. People want to read about it. They want to get angry about it. But then there's also, well, let's make a joke about it. That'll get clicks on social media. So there's two parts to it.
So why do you think, well, one, how did you identify, but why do you think the Aussies just have this, like they love that banter meme type culture? Why do you think, because it seems to be pretty prominent in our market more so than maybe just the American sports pages I follow and stuff, but it seems to be pretty prominent in Australia. Why do you think, and like, how did you identify there's an opportunity?
All the stuff I do is based around what we're saying to each other when we're
at the pub. Yeah, okay.
Or we're in the schoolyard. Or, you know, we're, you know, going for a drive. Or having lunch. Mate, there was a thing that came up. It was if you could invite someone to your house and within the first 15 to 20 minutes they were to make fun of you, you'd get $1 million. Who would you invite? I just sent it to my mate and I said, it'd take 15, 20 seconds for you to insult me. Like, you'd probably walk in and insult me.
If someone saw that meme around me, that I'd probably get that sent to me from everyone I know.
So it's like, it's just instilled in us, I think, early in our years to just take the piss out of each other. It's it's English as well. English do it, but like, you know, majority of us that have come to Australia are from there. So, I think it's just instilled in us early, like, let's take the mickey out of each other and have a laugh. Like, you know, if something bad happens to you, let's make a joke about it and then let's get over it. I'm not going to make fun of and insult you to, like, hurt you. I'm making fun of you to insult you to get you to laugh.
Yeah.
And then we go, how cool was that? And let's get on with it. And stuff when you're sitting at the pub, it's like, well, I've recently just started playing a bit more golf, and we play like Super Tens, joined a Super Tens group. By the ninth, like, we started playing, these guys I knew of, but I hadn't really spent time with. Within the first few holes, it's like, no, you take the mickey out of my swing, I'll take the piss out of yours, blowing air horns through your backswing.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's just a real Aussie thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love that.
So all I'm doing is taking that and trying to push it through social media. And sometimes it's hard because, like, people go, oh, you're getting really angry. I'm like, no, I'm being fucking sarcastic. I'm trying to banter with you.
Was that like a top line strategy? Did you sit back and go, oh, I think that's a scenario? Or did you just start posting a few things and it just seemed to work and people resonated with it?
Yeah, you have to, like, I've evolved. Like, when I first started, it was, like I said, not much video stuff. It was static. Now it's a lot more video stuff. With a mix of static, it's a mix of news and things as well. So I do contract work for content, and a lot of that stuff is humour-based as well. So they get all the top-line stuff, and then some of the stuff for the roast is like afterthoughts or stuff they can't touch. So, just trying to develop that, what I'm thinking when I watch something, and if I get a screening, what am I thinking about that? What does it look like? What would me and my mates be saying
at the pub
about this image, and then just putting it into a meme? So, you know, it's very reactive stuff, so I have to wait for it to happen. There's obviously things that you start pre-planning. Like I said, the toilet seat as a trophy is that you're planning beforehand. But there'll be stuff I'll react to that happens in the crowd and things, which is majority of the stuff. So just sit there and just, you know,
what would I be saying?
Yeah, I've got a big brain for pop culture references and things, right?
Yeah.
Love comedy movies, like the parody satire movies, like, Scary Movie, Naked Gun, all those sort of things. So when I'm seeing something, it's like, well, what can I relate it to in a movie I've recently seen that's a funny scene and stuff? So
to tie it back to golf and just that pop culture thing, did you love Happy Gilmore 2?
I didn't mind it. Okay. Obviously, it didn't live up to what we thought.
Yeah.
But after the first watch, I didn't like it. Second watch, I was like, well, hold on. And then I've watched it about four times now, and it feels like it gets better each time.
Yeah,
what happened with Happy Gilmore. People remember, it wasn't a smash hit when it first came out. This is stupid. Same with Anchorman, and they're cult classics now. So it takes a few watches. There's obviously an issue with the ending.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit silly, but then I'm like, that's Happy Gilmore. Like, yeah. You know, we're talking about a movie based around a guy who can hit it 500-600 yards each time. Like, yeah. It's not real. There's got to suspend a bit of belief at times. So, yeah, the ending could have been a little bit better, but I thought it actually, it got the LIV Golf versus PGA thing on the money.
Yeah, I agree. Thought,
yeah, they took it over the top, you know, and so that's what LIV was when it first came out, was this over the top sort of golf tournament. I liked it, and it was just all the throwbacks. You know, all these different characters.
Well, that's what I was getting at, like all the little pop culture references and yep. all the little Easter eggs that were in it.
Yeah.
It's on a larger scale.
Yep.
But it's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you can't, there was never, I don't think you could have done that sequel and pleased everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you do? You do throwbacks. There was so many good cameos in it. Even like, I think I did it recently. It was like, one of the girls from the other side comes over and starts squeezing Rory's nipples. Yeah. And Bryce comes over, he goes, yeah, leave those titties alone. They're my titties. and I was like, that's a great line, because like there's so much animosity between yeah. Bryce and Rory, but now they're teammates. It's like, it's quite a funny dynamic. So I'm going to go back and watch it again tonight.
Yeah. I love it. On the plane trip home.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, so that'd be good.
Beautiful. I guess so. Let's just swing it back to you're doing it part time, working in banking, as you said.
Yep.
Do you remember your first sort of deal you made out of it? Like, was there a first deal?
Like a brand deal?
Yeah, first brand deal.
It took a while. Like, it took a long time. There might have been like a couple of little ones, which were like maybe like $100 or something like that, just to promote something. But probably one of the first big ones was. Would have been like Budgie Smuggler, I reckon.
Okay.
They got on real early. I did this. They used to have the most ordinary rig competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like perfect, like ordinary rigs in rugby league. So we did the most ordinary footballer, local footballer. And it popped back up actually recently, because the guy who ended up winning it, I thought he was raising a trophy at a local footy comp, and he changed a bit. He had longer hair and beard. And I was like, oh, he's finally won a comp. And they go, nah, someone just left the trophy there and he's stolen it with a jersey and holding it up. And I'm like, well, that's a traditional ordinary footballer. But it might have been just with them, just doing something like a collaboration post, and maybe I got some clothes for the family. I know they've always looked after them. The Budgie family's so good. They looked after my family with clothes and things and swimmers. And I've still got a relationship with them today, to the point where it's like, I don't care about sort of money or whatever. What content can we do together? So, yeah. Cause they're just so, you know, their brand is you know, targeted towards all those ordinary, you know, local footballers and people going to footy games and stuff like that.
Same people who are sitting at the pub making those memes, right?
Correct.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Saying the lines that are making memes.
Same blokes just sitting here, right?
Yeah, so, correct.
It was just this natural sort of combination there.
Yeah, cool. And so did you off the back of that sort of coming through, is that where you started to think, oh, maybe there's like legs in this going full time?
Yeah, 100%.
And were you already thinking that, or was
when
it?
When I was at the bank, so starting 2017, early 2019, there was Forbes and Parks, the branches were going to merge. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was like, you know what, I probably could make a run and focus a bit of time on this. And I just didn't want the job, and they made us both interview for it. And I was like, I don't want the job. I'd rather redundancy, so then I can focus some time on that. Because then I was like, the redundancy would have given me maybe 6 months of doing it, where I would have then run out of money and had to go find a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want the job. So I'm just going to throw this interview. Or I just went in there. I was like, yeah, nah, probably do this, probably do that. Because they made us interview. I couldn't decline it. Okay. They had to. So I was like, no, I just don't want the thing. And then the boss has come back. He's like, man, it was so close between you two. I'm like, are you for real? Like, I was like really good in being bad, really bad at being bad. Or the other guy was awful as well. But the guy that took it, Shannon, he's great. And the thing is, he wanted the job as well. So
okay.
I was happy for him to get the job, and I got the redundancy. The very next day, I had a phone call from Can I mention them? Or So Hammy at Sportsbet, and he's like, hey mate, love the page, be interested in having a chat. And before that, I'd sort of been engaging with them, like liking some of their stuff and sending DMs, how good, rah rah rah. And so they'd been on, I'd been on their radar for a few months, and he's just like, any chance you want to do some part-time content? I'm like, mate, I've just been made redundant, so yes.
It's funny how the universe.
Like literally the day after, I think I've still got the DMs in there, and it was February. So started doing that with them just part-time, and it'd be, hey mate, we need about four assets for the weekend, have a think about these ideas. And I'd come back with some pre-prepared stuff, but be the ability to maneuver if something changed.
Yeah.
And they just loved it. And the Magic Round that year in 2019, they invited me up to, they were doing an activation there, got to meet the team. And it's funny, what they set me up as soon as I got in, they said, we'll get you in the box, but we'll mic you up. We're going to have a hidden camera, and we're going to get you to annoy the shit out of Wally and be like that footy show character that annoyed the shit out of Fatty.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you just need to be a real arsehole to him. I'm like, I'm traditionally pretty humble. I'm a normal, happy guy. I don't hate anyone. There's like, I count on the one hand the amount of people I hate in this world. And to go there and be a real arsehole, knowing that there's a camera on me, stumbled. I choked, basically. I was just too nice, they said. So they could never use the footage. But
how did he take it?
At the end, he sort of picked up on it. But okay. They just told me. So it was like, he hates backslaps.
So who was it? Just to...
Wally. Oh, who was it?
Who's Wally?
Mick Wall. Okay. So he's with Sportsbet. He's been there. Great guy. He's been there for many years. Does a lot of racing and AFL stuff.
Okay.
But he was he's the skip in the Grubs. So yeah. If anyone watches that, they'll know who he's there. And so basically they said, oh, he hates backslaps. So just constantly backslapping. And he hates being called, I can't think of the actor's actual name, but Kenny from the movie Kenny.
Yeah.
With the toilet. He said he hates being referred because they always say he looks like him. And so I had to just mispronounce his name all night. So I was calling him, whatever the actor's, I forget the actor's name, but calling him that, backslapping him. And then I'd ask for a photo. I go, mate, can we get a photo? And then I go, nah, it's not blurry. It's blurry. I need another one, and I have to get another one. We get like five or six shots. And just, and then there was a point at the end of the night where he was sitting in a seat, and I go down and sit next to him, and he was just like, you could see he was doing these ones. Like. So I thought I did an all right job of annoying him, and he's sitting there just doing this. I was like, oh, mate, can you just, you mind swapping seats? I think that view's a little bit better. He goes, yeah, no worries. And then it'd be like 10 seconds later, nah, this fucking sucks, mate. Just, can we swap again? And just go, and he's just sitting there just like, oh, like, what am I going to have to do? And then Hemi's like, yelled out something. He goes, mate, do you know what's going on here? And he goes, oh, I've got a little bit of an idea. So I think he sort of picked up on it again. Okay. And then I was like, mate, you're such a nice guy. I found it really hard to be rude to you. And we've just got on like a house on fire since. But yeah. But that's it was great, yeah, getting up there and meeting the team there. And then, signed my first contract with them just to do like 12 months worth of content. But now I'm sort of...
Well, that would have been a little bit scary after that 12 months. I'm tipping you signed on a bit before it, but COVID hit.
Yes,
Was there a lot of uncertainty going around into that?
So my situation was I got to get to work from home. So I work out of parks, provide content remotely because all the stuff is not really... doesn't involve me in content. It's just creating content from behind the scenes. So I could do all that from home. I said 12 months. It was like 6 months, ended the end of footy season. And I was like, oh, shit, so I've only got footy season. So I was just like, I was into everything. Whatever you want, I'll do, I'll jump in. The Ashes was on that year, and so it was like the middle of the year over in England.
Mm-hmm.
So the matches went to like 3 o'clock in the morning. But I was like, no, I volunteer. I'll be up doing all that stuff and just showed like what I could do around all the different sports, so not just rugby league.
Yeah.
So when it came to summer, hey, if you want something around cricket, I can help. If you want something around tennis, I can help. And just became a jack of all trades in that, focusing obviously on NRL. And then extended the contract from October through to the following October then. COVID hit. So 2020, everyone was fearing, like, what are we going to be doing here? And a lot of people there were forced to take leave because we were contractors. It was like, hey, we need you to probably just step up and work a bit more. And so I went through, it was like two like pay rises because of COVID, because everyone else was off and I was doing a lot more work. So I was actually lucky, like for COVID, it helped me propel and get better quicker and get more money. So,
talk us through like the importance of, I guess, upskilling on the run, I guess, in a way. Like, I'm tipping you, you obviously okay editing and doing different things and ideas, but there's still obviously levels that anyone can improve on.
Yep.
And so I'm guessing through that period, there was like, you know, with you volunteering to do the cricket and the, whatever else you were doing, I'm guessing there was a lot of like steps in terms of your upskilling and learning how to do different things that you couldn't potentially have done when you were working at the bank.
Yes. Yeah. So to be honest, like when I started doing stuff during bank hours, like if I had a spare hour, I was editing and stuff. So I probably cheated a little bit, like I didn't do as much work in those last couple of years, but to my benefit now, I suppose. But yeah, anytime I wanted to learn something, I just jump on YouTube. Hey, I don't know how to do this, and I'd find it, because there's no courses in this. There's no, you don't learn this at school. It's on the run. It's I was influenced, you said American sport, I was heavily influenced by them. Saw what like Bleacher Report were doing, Lad Bible in the UK were doing, and just adapting that to Australian sports. So if I want to learn how to do a head swap, or you know, how do you make it do this and do that, Google it or YouTube it. Someone's done a tutorial on it. And if you look now, that's the easiest way to find it, because everyone's doing it now. 100%. So there's a lot more content to learn. But I think this sort of stuff will probably be taught in schools eventually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think it should be taught in
schools? I think you can do like TAFE courses and things where it's like graphic design, but there will be a social media course which will, A, teach you about the pros and cons of putting your face out there and doing content. Like there's a lot of cons that people need me to be aware of. Like 100%. I've got my eldest daughter now, like we've just given her Instagram and things. Okay. And it's like, you know, we think about it and go, well, you know, you should be 16, 18 or whatever. But it's like, if you monitor it properly, yes, you can. And they're getting younger and younger, and that they want to get on these sort of sites. It's becoming more and more part of life. But so many dangers to it. Like 100%. How many people can DM you? And my kids have grown up on Roblox. It's like there's so many those weird messages and stuff. So you got to monitor that. So it's, yeah, you can give the kids access. Just don't give them unfiltered access. Don't let them just go off and do it. Check in on them. See who they're talking to. What are they sending? All that sort of stuff. So it's always good to have conversations about that. But, yeah, in school there's going to be a social media course that will teach you the pros and cons of social media. But also, you know, the good stuff to do, how to get your, you know, how to edit things, how to, you know, the right way to crop things, the right angles of shooting photography and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be a watered down version, because you won't be able to do all that in one course, but it'll be like, here's some of the basics to get you started.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I don't think we're far off that.
No, I agree. And anyway, like I suppose off the back of that, there's even the piece that you're sort of not really speaking about, but about that grind, like the grind that you've put towards this, like as you said, it's what, probably 8 or 9 years now of like running the page. But there's also the grind of, you mentioned earlier, liking every, inviting every like to follow the page. There's also the constant ideas. There's the constant editing. There's all this stuff that goes into it. Everyone sort of just thinks, oh, it's just like a meme page. Like they just post funny stuff.
Yep.
There's so much that behind the, I guess, front-facing part of it.
Yeah,
And the grind that goes behind that. So is there, in terms of like growing it to a point where now the page is, you know, it's pretty flourishing, it's probably, it would be up there with the most followed, like it'd be the most followed content page, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be up there. Yeah, I don't know exactly. Like there's obviously some of the big players that you look at, like Kempi and Guru and Hello Sport and stuff like that, which, you know, they're also covering other sports as well. So when it comes to just NRL, yeah, it'd be definitely up there.
About branching out a little bit, or you want to keep the main thing?
I have. And I always said, like, I regretted focusing just on NRL.
Okay.
But at the same point, it's like, how much can I focus? Like, when the NRL's on, what other sports on? I'm not really focusing that much. There's obviously, you know, tennis and NBA and stuff like that. But it's like, if I'm posting something about NRL, which I've built the audience up on, do they care about NBA? There will be, you know, maybe 10%, but it's like the other 90% don't give shit about it. So it's like, what do I focus on? Do I just focus on what I like?
Yeah.
Or do I have to focus on everything that's happening, because it's like...
And I think you'd find if you went too wide as well, like say you started doing just an overall sport roast, like there'd be certain things that you're picking up on an NRL that you would miss a key moment in the NBA, or you'd miss a key moment in the AFL or something like that, because you're focusing on so many other things.
Yep. Yeah. So,
like, is it, and you mentioned your daughters, is there like ways to, do you plan for them to work within the roast, or are they going to...
Yeah, look, the oldest has the oldest has a bit of an ambition to do social media content, and I've, she's been doing a fair bit with me over the last 2 years.
What do you call it, the Roastettes?
She's a little roasty.
Little roasty, sorry.
Yeah, I could call them the Roastettes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Roast and the Roastettes. But I've got, little Roasty and Roasty Jr. is the is the second daughter. And, like, she's a little bit younger now, but she's also been in some content. But if she wants to, I'm happy to educate them, I suppose, if they want to do something. But I also want them to do something on their own.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be good to have her have them in to... talk about rugby league if that's what they have an interest in. The thing is, they don't have a huge interest in rugby league. They just have an interest in content as well. So every time I'm like, hey, I'm going to a media day about the NRLW, I want to come because I want to talk to the girls. They're actually massive Matildas fans. They love soccer. So anytime they want to do that, they just want to go to those games. So maybe there's a way just to do that.
Have you taken them to many Matilda games?
Yeah, I've taken taken one, which was against China last year, but I took them to the World Cup, which was streamed at Allianz Stadium. We couldn't get tickets to the game.
The one at Suncorp?
It was at Accor. We couldn't get tickets.
The game at Suncorp? Or no?
No, it was the game at Accor.
Oh, the semi, yeah.
Okay. Was it the semi? Yeah.
Yeah, it was against England. We got beat.
Yes.
And when Sam Cook kicked their goal.
Yes. Yeah, that was one.
Yeah.
We watched it at Allianz Stadium.
Yeah,
so they had the big TVs on, and they had maybe 10,000 people there. And it was a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
We did all the fan fest and everything beforehand, and then just went and watched the game in Allianz. It was a great experience for her. But they've got to see the Matildas, which is great. But yeah, I'd love to get them in a bit more content. But sorry, we were talking about just balancing it.
Yeah.
It's hard because changing sports. UFC's a good one to a lot of rugby league fans. Love UFC, and Volkanovski's been a massive driver in that, being an ex-footy player. So you can always link it back to that. And every time I go then to do interviews with UFC, I always try and bring in some rugby league to them. We'll talk about your fights, we'll talk about your career, all that, and then here's this rugby league bit that I just want you to touch on or look at or give me some tips in footy, so that the rugby league fans still have a link to that. It's like, hey, I'm just, I'm talking to Jack Jenkins from Melbourne about his fight coming up. People might go, well, I don't care about that, but what's his take on
Reece Walsh toilet
or whatever. Yeah, so if I can link it to rugby league, I'll do any sort of sport. But UFC, because a lot of people, a lot of NRL fans are UFC fans as well. So there's a bit of a direct link. I reckon I could just start posting results of UFC fights, and people would just go, "Yep, that's cool." They wouldn't go, "Hold on, this is an NRL page." I think there's just a good correlation there. But if I then just started posting about, Josh Giddey playing for the Bulls, or
it starts getting
any Australian in the NBA. Like, I love watching them, and I love especially NFL. I like to follow.
Who do you support?
Who do I support? The Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
So due to a coin flip, we skipped school back in, 97 to watch the Super Bowl. It was Denver Broncos against the Green Bay Packers. And I wanted to support the Denver Broncos. And we said, both of us, me and mate, wanted to follow him. So we flipped a coin. He won. He picked Denver Broncos. I said, oh, I'll go for the Green Bay Packers. And we realized it was the year after they'd won the Super Bowl. So I missed the one with Brett Favre, and they lost to the Denver Broncos. And then, I had to wait fucking 15, nearly 15 years to see another one.
Yeah.
But from then on, I was a Green Bay fan.
I don't know if you'll win it this year, but I reckon you'll take it deep.
Like, yeah.
Your defense is unreal.
Yeah, well, got Michael Parsons added to the thing. And Jordan Love was, he injured his thumb early in the year, but didn't affect him. So, watch that tie against Dallas Cowboys, 40-0.
Yeah, I know.
In past extra time. So
40-all.
Yeah. What did I say, 40-0?
Yeah.
Mate, that's a rugby league.
Yeah.
One of the greatest grand final, thinking about grand final week, one of the greatest grand final scores of all time. But yeah, so like I love following like Australians in those sports as well.
Yeah.
Always think there's good conversations to be had with them. How did they get there?
Absolutely.
And some of them have a rugby league background or come from a rugby league area. Let's talk about that. We've got a bloke from Parks actually who played for the Spacemen, who's over now in college playing college ball. So, you know, there's a link there. Love to have a chat with him.
Yeah.
I think I can link that, but it's not that's not a regular thing. So I'm not going to be posting their stats every week or whatever. It's just maybe just general chit chat here and there.
Yeah, for sure. Do you find like have the players always accepted you? Like more so NRL, obviously, but have like the NRL players always been pretty accommodating to what you sort of been chasing or?
Most of the time, yeah. Well, I'd say 95% of the time, yes. There's players that just don't like that sort of content as well.
Or media in general.
And they're wary of it, right?
Yeah.
I remember hearing like Joel Clinton back in like the mid-2000s, he would never talk to anyone about football outside of playing it. So, like, if you wanted to talk to him, if you wanted to talk to him about fishing, he'd chew your ear off for hours. But if you started talking football, hey mate, I caught this. How about these fish I caught? And then you'd lean into rugby league. But some also maybe they thought I've taken the piss out of them, maybe I've something I've said is like they've taken it the wrong way, so they don't want to associate themselves with me, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it more for the fans. I want to give you. Connect with the players, but to give them more of an insight into the for the fans. They might not want to associate, but it's I suppose that's their choice if they want to do that. But it's also denying the fans a chance of
for sure.
Of chatting,
do you find over the last couple of years they've potentially become more accommodating when they're starting to understand social media a bit more, and like you know you're finding potentially some of the players were fans of the roast in 2020 or starting debut and things like that.
So. I do find those. Yeah. One of the best ones was finals week, I got to interview the captains. And the very first captain I interviewed was Joe Tarpany. And he's come up, he's like, oh, hey, bro, I fucking love your page. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love you. I'm a massive fan. Like, so, but I'm also like, I'm old enough to be some of these guys' dad. You know?
Yeah.
So, but I'm a fan. I'm just a fanboy. So the fact that I get to do it as a job is phenomenal. But most of the time, I just want to stand there and get a photo with them.
Yeah.
Can you autograph this? But I'm like, a journalist wouldn't do that. But I suppose I am different to a journalist. But there are, some players come up, they love my stuff and want to engage, want to do stuff. And then there's others just like, well, this is extra work for me. I don't want to do that. And
But I suppose more to my question, do you think they're understanding like like a lot of journalists are probably asking a lot of loaded questions.
Yes.
You're probably coming from a more comedic side,
more
comedic point of view, and they're understanding the value of that a bit more.
I think so. You would see players like doing a lot more social media stuff now.
Yeah.
And, 10 years ago, it wasn't as big as what it is now. So some of those older players might not see the value in it, but I think the younger ones are. And they also know. If they're nice to me and I promote them in a really nice way and have a laugh, then they're more approachable to the rest of the fans. So, yeah they do see the value in it.
Okay.
Anyone I've like sort of worked with and done stuff with, I've never had them come back and say that was a real negative thing or anything like that. So, hopefully I try and portray it in a good way and give them some value.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. What kind of advice, I suppose, for someone like myself, if I guess I'm a bit older, but like around the same age as you, but just sort of coming through into the space, I'm not an 18-year-old kid doing it.
Yep.
What advice would you have in terms of, I guess, growing my own presence and my own, and growing the mind games?
It's always just authenticity, right? It's people want to see... What social media is now, like when I first started, it was like, a lot of meme stuff posting. People want to see faces to pages. So as long as you're authentic, and you being authentic is then different to everyone else, right? Because that's you. You can't be accused of being, copying anyone because it's just you being you and talking. So I just encourage you to do what you want to do. Don't feel pressured into doing something just for the sake of getting likes.
Yeah.
Because then you're just going to start doing stuff that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people come to you and say, hey, we want to sponsor the show, but you've got to do this, this, and this. You'd be like, okay, I'll do that. And you're like, do I really want to do that, or am I only doing it just to get paid? So then you're going to start hating the content that you're doing. So I've always found, like, people go, oh, how do you – I've turned a hobby into a job. And when it was a hobby, it was like you're really driven just to do it because you love it. But then you start getting – you pay for it, and then it becomes, oh, I've got to do it to get paid. And you lose that authentic side. So just try and be as authentic as you can, and eventually shit will come.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Awesome. Thank you, mate. Where do you see the roast page going? What's the ceiling? What's
Oh, I'll probably shut it down next week after the grand final. Nah. I don't know. Like, I don't really want to, like, I should have a plan.
Yeah.
But I always just like to just focus on what's happening now. People ask me, like, oh, what are you doing for the Pacific Championships or whatever? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing for the grand final. It's 2 days away. So I'd love to do a lot more collaboration with the NRL, and it's starting to happen. We got to go to the Dally M's on Wednesday night on the red carpet or the green carpet and interview players, which is such a good experience.
Do you think in a way that my mentality, and like obviously there is a benefit to being more planned, but the fact that you can be more reactive and that quicker, like you sort of go with the flow and react to certain things, is kind of help you a little bit with the content creation?
Yeah, because if you set out just with a pre-plan and something else happens, then it's not as effective.
Yeah, okay.
I'd rather, like, there's been times where I go, oh man, I've got nothing for this game. It's a big game. Like, I haven't really got what the storylines are or anything. And then by the end of the game, I just posted like 6 assets that have just blown up. It's like, well, shit'll happen. Yeah. Like, I always, at the start of the season, I'm like, okay, how am I going to change? How am I going to do different? And you just let the game flow and something will pop up. It always does. So, probably there are times where I am pre-planned where, you know, if I'm going to the Dally M's and speaking to players, I like to have a few set questions that mm-hmm. I'm going to ask. But more it's just like, okay, let's have 3 or 4 questions to get them started and then just react to what they're saying at the end. Adam Reynolds actually roasted me. He roasted me back, which is great. I was talking about how Teddy Swims might be out of grand final entertainment, so we need someone to sing. And he just looked at me and goes, you actually look like Teddy Swims. Like, I was like, I don't, like, he's just roasted me. I'm like, I just pissed myself laughing. I was so happy. But I'm like, it's an insult. Or is it a compliment? I don't know, because he's a big fella. I'm a big fella. I got a beard. He's got tats. But then I was just like, threw it back to him. Well, he's got heaps of face tats and neck tats. So do you. I'll have to get your tattooist. And it was just a really good interaction, because I was like, even though he roasted me, it was good. But I think he understood, like, that's sort of what I do, right?
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. I might have said something about him once or whatever, but I think he's probably taken it in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he can hit me back with it. And so that's what I want from the players, because then it becomes a bit more of a natural and fans love that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that authentic side.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the, like, obviously we were discussing this prior off air, like the way the NRL social media's player landscape was. So it was very much like they would just post like an image and it'd get a heap of likes of them playing on the weekend.
Yep.
Now you've got, like, Reece Walsh is a brand. Nathan Cleary's a brand.
Yep.
Like, where do you think that's the evolution of that goes to with the NRL player?
Well, they were saying the other day that, like, Reece Walsh with endorsements and stuff could make $40 million over his career. And it's like, you know, there's an element of that of social media presence in that where you're going to be promoting products and things. Where do I think social media is going to be, like rugby league social media, or where the players are going to be?
Where,
like,
can the players take it?
Well, they can take it anywhere. Like, they've just got to be more active.
Mm.
And like you're saying, how do you get better, or how does any other creator get better being authentic? The players need to be authentic on social media. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, anyone that I might follow that's an athlete that has a real good sense of humor. You know, Bryson DeChambeau is a great example of him doing a lot more content of just him playing golf, but him then just talking.
He's changed his whole perception of him, right?
Oh, he was one of the most hated golfers, right?
Now he's the most followed golf YouTuber.
Correct. And there's so many people that are like, if you hate on him, it's like, what are you talking about? Mm. Like, you can't hate it. Like, he's such a nice guy. And he's just doing stuff. Like, he's doing these challenges. I see people doing heaps of stuff that are mimicking his, you know, when he was hitting over his house or hitting the into the cup onto
in his lounge room.
In his lounge room, right? So I think there'll be players just doing that. And, yeah, you're gonna cop flack. Like, Reece Walsh, when he – I can't believe how many times we're referencing him, but he's the man of the moment as well. Yeah. When he punched his mate and it went viral on TikTok, he got so much shit about it, right? But – that's building his brand of being a larrikin.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, but if you go back, if they had mobile phones and social media back in the 90s with certain players, they'd be all doing worse shit than that. And but it'd be also, when I say now, worse shit, not worse shit like, oh, they should be sacked or anything, but it's worse shit you look at it and go, oh, they're fucking larrikins, you know? Like,
and these are some of the big names. These are the guys you're seeing on Channel 9 still.
Correct.
So,
right?
Like, there's... yeah, absolutely. And like, I think, but it also, it allows you to own your own, not narrative, but own your own personality as well. Like, you look at, I find like someone like Luttrell, every time he does his own sort of stuff or he's on like a guest on, say, someone's golf channel or something, everyone sees how funny and how, like, you know, that thing he can be, how much everyone loves Munster when he does any sort of content because he's just that larrikin and he's funny and he's big fan roasty and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think there's that part will just keep increasing and we're going to get more exposure to the players' actual personalities.
Do you know, like, you mentioned Luttrell. If someone said, we'll give you a day with Luttrell, what would you want to do? I want to go to his farm.
Yeah.
I just want to spend a day with him on the farm and, you know, just follow him around with a camera, microphone, talk. But just spend, because that's where I watch all of his content when he's on the farm because he's just loving life. He's having so much fun. It's just in his natural habitat of him just mucking around. I feel safe here. There's no one can hurt me here. And I'm like, that's where I don't want to go down and sit at the footy field and interview him on the steps of the while watching a game or something like that. I'd rather go there and have him, you know, let's go chase his balls.
Let's make it happen, Luttrell.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, hit me up. I'll come out there. I'll bring my own film crew, whatever.
Yeah, I'll send this to him.
But yeah, so and rugby, you hear about this rugby 360.
Yeah.
One of the big stipulations in that is all the players own their own IP, right? So this is where this is going to be a natural progression. Right now, the players can't really use their own images from games or video and stuff because that's owned by the NRL or the clubs or whoever, where if they go play that and they can create content around that, they can do whatever they want, they can sell merchandise about them, you know, they're going to be making a lot more money. And it's going to be a natural progression to that where the players are going to fight to get some of their IP back.
Is that
back.
Part of the new deal, do you think?
Well, that's rumoured what it is, that they're going to get their own IP, which would be massive because then they can basically make whatever they want.
Yeah.
If you want to, let's say Ryan Pappenhausen was one of the ones rumoured to be going, right? So let's say if he goes, he wants to do Ryan Pappenhausen, whatever team he's playing for, let's say it's, I don't know, Miami Tornadoes or whatever, you know, he can use him in the jersey, a photo of him passing the ball, whatever, playing a game, put it on a coffee mug, put it on a t-shirt, put it on hats, use his number in the game or whatever, create a game, do endorsement deals of him in that clothing, and he owns all that. So that's a massive, you know, people just think, oh, they might get paid $1 million to go play. How much money are they going to make off the field?
Absolutely.
They can make two or three times in their first few years to the point where they'll get to a point where they could be making, and if they're stars in that, they're making tens of millions
and
every
they're global
year.
Superstars. So like post-career, there's more opportunities and different things as well. But yeah, mate, conscious of time, I want to know.
No, keep going, no.
I want to know your NRL Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I had a thing about this. There's two that, like, straight away everyone will go, yeah, they're probably on theirs as well, which is Joey Johns.
Yeah. Eighth.
Yeah, I idolised him since I started watching football. And he's just, I thought he was the clear best footballer of my generation and still, you know, still is. Brad Fittler as well. Love watching him play and, you know, played so many different positions as well. So was a great centre, great six, great 13. So one of the great utilities.
Another Penrith Junior.
Yeah. Then I have to throw in some of the big fellas.
Okay.
Love Glenn Lazarus.
Yeah.
Watching the brick with eyes. Yeah, the brick with eyes. Won three comps with three different teams. And, like, when, you know, he was in that Canberra team with, you know, Mal and Laurie and
Brad Clyde.
Ricky and Brad Clyde. But he was also not just a bit player. Like, he was one of the main players. Mm. And to be a main player with that much talent showed what type of player he was. And even when he went to Brisbane as well, some of the talent they had. And then there were so many Dragons players that I wanted to throw in there. I have to throw in a Dragons player. But I always say the reason I got into rugby league was due to Scott Goulet. He wasn't the greatest player or anything like that, but he got me into rugby league. He ran a training camp of like a training round robin series. Came out to the Central West and
was
and
he
did
from
that.
Out there?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
No. I think he's down in Barrel, down there.
Is it 6'5" or something, isn't he?
Mate, he was mad. And I looked up to, like, you look at this guy, he's like a giant.
Yeah.
And then you'd watch him on TV and he was playing against guys at the same height and you're like, they all must be giants. So you just idolise these guys. But he got me into rugby league. So, you know, I put him up there. Like I said, he's not the greatest footballer, but for me, he's one of the greatest.
I've got two questions off the back of it. One, on a personal note, where the hell's the Ice Man? How is Nathan Cleary not on there? Secondly,
I'll say, okay, I can't put any current players in there.
Okay.
So,
got ya.
I would, like, if you want to talk front rowers, Payne Haas is going to be the greatest front rower of all time.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting him in there because if he quit now,
he's not.
If he left now, I don't think he would, you know, if you want to compare him to some of the greats, he will end up being a great. And like I said, at the end of his career, I'd probably slot him in there. Same with Nathan Cleary. I just don't think you can put a current player.
Okay.
If he quit now, Nathan Cleary is a little bit different.
Yeah.
If he quit now, his resume is...
He's pretty close.
Pretty close to... Yeah. Well, he's got more comps than... I said Joey.
Yeah. He's
got
double.
Two more comps than him. So, you know, there's merit in that. But I'm like, I wanted to leave off any current players.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then the other key little takeaway, there's no Queenslanders there.
Yeah, so I've three words for that. Fuck the Queenslanders. I just, mate, like, you could easily put, if you ask a Queenslander who their Mount Rushmore is, I'm sure they'd name four
Cameron,
Queenslanders.
Billy, Darren and Webby or something.
Well, you got Wally, you've got Alfie, you know, so there's, but I'm just like, no, you can have them up there. I'll have my four down here.
Yeah, I love it. Well, off the back of that, I don't know.
I did have Glenn Lazarus, who played for Brisbane.
That's true.
Won a comp for years, but
that's true.
He was a great New South Welshman.
He was. I guess off the back of that, grand final prediction tomorrow.
Yeah. Look.
Sunday. This will come out.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, come out. I was going to play off that. No. So I think the way it plays out, first 20 is going to be pretty gritty. Melbourne Storm will do what they do best, is grind it out. Just to try and stifle that Broncos attack. They'll take a lead into half time, whether it's probably about three tries in the first half. I think Melbourne will be maybe a penalty goal, 14-6 or 14-4. And then second half, Broncos will start mounting a comeback and they'll be like, oh yeah, they maybe score first and it's like, okay, we're on. But then the Storm score late and ice it, I reckon 22-14.
Yeah, cool. Churchill?
I've got Pappy. I just reckon he's been a bit quiet over the last few weeks. Yeah, he got it back in 2020. And you got to think, back in, what was it, it had Cameron Smith and Munster, Hughes as well. So,
well, I think you blokes paid out on Cameron Smith at halftime, didn't you?
Yes, we did. we say one of the great marketing campaigns. It was a very costly marketing campaign. but yeah, that was quite a fun day to be at work the next day. But I'll say, yeah, Pappy, I think he gets a job done again. And I just think he's been quiet. And I think this game's where it's cherry ripe for him to...
Who's 1-2? Is it Brad Clyde?
Brad Clyde, Billy Slater.
Nathan Cleary.
Nathan Cleary, yep.
There you go.
Brad Clyde did it in...
a losing team as well.
In a losing team, yeah.
Yeah, against Penrith, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Was that 90...
1, 92, 90... I don't know.
Yep. Well, I don't want to say it on here.
Something like that.
I mean, you don't know your footy.
Before I was born. Yeah. mate, thank you. Off the back of that, three quick fire questions.
Hit me.
You've got, you can go to your dream golf course and you can have three people that are alive. Give me your dream foursome with you.
That's a good one.
I'll carry the bat. I'm the caddies. He can't say
that. Okay. Right. Well, I think it's got to, I'm probably a bit torn between Augusta because it's just,
yeah,
it's the bomb, right?
Absolutely.
But also Pebble Beach. Like,
imagine.
Yeah. It's such a scenic one. I think I have to go.
Are you much of a PlayStation?
Mate, Tiger Woods.
05 was the one I played. Evil.
Yeah, I think it was like the 05 or 06. It was just like the goated golf game.
Yeah.
And there'd be one where you, like, we'd play St. Andrews and it'd be like you're trying to get in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, because you'd be able to drive a par five because you'd get the spin and you'd be doing these ones to get all the spin. That looks really weird probably just with the camera just under there. Yeah, it was a fantastic. But I'll say Augusta.
Yeah.
So three people dead or alive. I'll say my dad. He passed away a couple of years ago. And we used to love having a hit of golf with him. So I'll bring dad back to have a bit of a hit.
Awesome.
Dead or alive? Oh, jeez. Golf. Oh, Tiger. I'll have to throw Tiger in there. And you've seen like him doing some content now as well, like him messing around with the guys from Barstool. Is it Fair Play or Four Play? Sorry,
yeah.
Him getting down on his knees and out driving.
That was so
funny.
It's
like, I just think he'd be good.
He'd
to
have stories for days. Oh, too.
He'd be good on the 19th hole as well.
So
take Tiger, and then I'll say, I might go like someone, Dally Messenger. Like someone from, like that I've never met, never interacted, never heard anything from, but someone that's just from the early days of rugby league.
How good's that?
Yeah, that obviously gives some good stories and it has such a history in rugby league. Throwing him.
That's great. We've had some fucking interesting answers on here. One bloke had Donald Trump. Like, Hoz had Donald Trump. He had like, someone had Barack Obama, like it was just American politics apparently.
Yeah,
but right. No, they're great answers.
Should
I
have said Adam Sandler would have been good too.
Yeah, imagine.
Watching with Bryson DeChambeau and I was like, that was such a funny episode.
Yeah,
it was
the break 50, I saw that. What's your go-to cheat meal?
Any sort of chicken burger. Southern fried chicken burger.
Yeah.
There's so many, so I can't really name one place. I had a great one. I think it was Chuck Trailers.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, they're so good.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous. So, but if you got a good southern fried chicken burger with some nice coleslaw and pickles, that's and a little bit of like hot sauce, or buffalo wings.
Unreal.
Everywhere I go, if there's buffalo wings on there, I'll try them.
Nice, mate. Final question: 16-year-old Roasty walks through the door right now. What are you telling him?
Oh, don't give up on footy.
Love it.
Yeah, because I played 18s and then sort of gave it away for a bit. And then I was playing up in Port Macquarie. My best mate died in a car accident. I come back home, just sort of gave away. I played a bit of rugby union and I just sort of got disillusioned with it. So I'd probably say, look, dig in. Because like 16s was when I was just started getting some like rep sides and things. I'd never played rep before that and starting to develop into not a great footballer, but like, I was really enjoying the football and then it just died out in the end and I gave up on it. I would have said, yeah, don't give up on it. Just keep playing.
Sick. Well, as part of your audience, I'll say to a 30-something-year-old Roasty, don't give up on content creation.
Yeah, thank you.
Mate, I really appreciate today. I really appreciate you giving up your time and, mate, thank you.
No, it's been great. Thanks, brother. Cheers, man.